We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Joining us now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, Chris Fedor, Cleveland.com. Chris, how are you, pal?
I'm doing great. How are you?
You're not bad, man. You hanging out at the Atlanta airport?
I am. How did you know I was in Atlanta? Did I tell you?
Oh, okay. One of my worst experiences ever was in the Atlanta airport.
Really?
I was going for a – actually, going where you're going. I was going for a job interview right out of college, or maybe a year later, in Oklahoma City.
And, oh, wow. No kidding.
Yes, and I was – but I flew from upstate New York, and we had a layover in Atlanta – and I got, and then we got on the second flight from Atlanta to Oklahoma City. And 30 minutes in, there was, not even 10 minutes in, there was something wrong with the plane, and they had to bring it back. And it was so shaky that I got sick to my stomach, and I was puking at the Atlanta airport. I had to spend the night in at a motel at the airport because I couldn't get back on a plane. I was so sick.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah,
that's
not
horrible.
Fun. Yeah, this is a horrible story. Well, I
and
mean,
by
yeah,
the way, getting to Oklahoma City is a nightmare.
It is.
I mean, it's like you're traveling to Los Angeles, basically. You're on a 2-hour flight to a connection, then you're on another 2-hour flight just to get Oklahoma City. Like, where is it? In the middle of nowhere?
I know. It's bizarre. Well, and just, you know, ever since, 5 years ago, whatever, 6 years ago, that Cleveland was no longer a hub for United,
right.
It's hard. It's probably hard for you getting direct flights to a lot of places outside of New York, L.A., and Chicago, right?
Some of them are better than others, but
okay.
Yeah, to your point, there are fewer of those nowadays, which is unfortunate.
Certainly is. All right. Will there be fewer members, veteran members of the Cavs after Thursday, Chris? That is the question here. Kevin Love seems like he has no value in this trade market. Tristan Thompson, he probably has more. I don't know. Well, you tell us what's going on with those two guys right now.
All right, so we'll start with Kevin. First, Kevin wants out. I think that's painfully obvious if you just watch him play. But the Cavs have been operating under the impression since the beginning of the season that if they do decide to move on from Kevin, and they still value him, both on and off the court, but if they decide to move on from Kevin, they have believed that the best offer that they're going to get is going to come this offseason, not at the trade deadline. Because this offseason, there aren't a lot of contending teams that have free agency money to spend. There are other teams that aren't going to make moves in the offseason because they're loading up on cap space for 2021 free agency with Giannis. And they feel like, the Cavs do, that there are no impact free agents available this summer. So if a team wants to preemptively strike before 2021, they're going to call the bad teams that have all-stars, and they're going to say that's going to be our big significant move in the offseason to take a run at this thing, while other teams aren't taking a run at this thing because they're saving all their cap space for Giannis. So that's been the Cavs' feeling all along, and I have been getting the vibe all along that they're probably not going to move him at the deadline because of that and because the offers just aren't going to be there to get them to say yes. Like, I have been told multiple times, and nothing has changed on this front, that they want a combination of young players and draft picks, both if they could get it. Now, other teams around the NBA are saying, wait a minute, hold on. He's got 3 years, $90 million on his contract. He's on the wrong side of 30. He can't defend a chair. He's got a lot of injury history that we have to navigate through. His attitude hasn't been great throughout the course of the season, so if we bring him to our place and we're not a quote-unquote contender at the highest level, is he going to be a good soldier for us? So the value that the Cavs have placed on Kevin does not equal the value that other teams around the NBA have placed on him. They want the Cavs to add sweeteners to a deal. The Cavs want those teams to add sweeteners just to take Kevin, because they think he still has all-star capabilities.
That just seems crazy to me, Chris, because if other teams are seeing it that way, I mean, that's how I think most people see it. I mean, you mentioned all the reasons why Kevin Love wouldn't be a desirable guy. Yeah, there's obviously he's still talented. He's still a good player. And if he was like, you know, a third player on a good team, maybe he'd be helpful. But nobody's going to give up a ton with his contract, injury history, and age. I just don't see it.
Yeah, I have a hard time seeing it as well. But the Cavs feel like he's valuable. So even if they have to hang on to him throughout the course of the remainder of this season, they're okay with that. I think a couple of weeks ago, maybe even a month ago, I think they were wondering about it. They were saying, all right, we bring him back in the second half. If we don't get a trade, like, is he going to be a bad influence on our young guys? Is he going to make it really, really difficult for the growth and the development to happen the way that we want it to, that's meaningful for us as an organization? And I think Kevin has apologized for some of his behavior. He has shown more empathy over the last 15 games. He's averaging 20-9, and he's shooting a good percentage from both the field and three-point range. So I think he vented all the stuff that he wanted to vent. He had his temper tantrums that he needed to have. And I think the Cavs feel like the situation is not so toxic that they're going to be forced into a deal here at the deadline. And look, things can change. They could get an offer that they don't see at this point in time. But as of now, their belief is we're not going to get an offer that we'd be willing to say yes to.
Chris Fedor is with us. Chris, what about Tristan? I know it seems like he's kind of obviously wants out now too, and maybe he's the most likely one to go.
So this one's really, really complicated, guys, because I've talked to people close to Tristan Thompson in January when we were on that long road trip through Los Angeles. And at that time, they did have interest in doing a contract extension, but only one that was really going to suit them and only one that was going to make them be willing to avoid this free agency coming up for Tristan Thompson. And you know what that means. That means like a huge, big-time offer, final contract of his career that can set him up for years after the NBA. So the Cavs were never really going to go that direction. They don't want to give that massive contract to him before he hits free agency just because it benefits Tristan and his camp, right? So, like, the Cavs have to figure out what is his value. And if they want to re-sign him in the offseason, what's the right number? And is that number one that Tristan Thompson and his camp would actually say yes to? And I just think there was always going to be an impact. Yes, the Cavs would like to re-sign him this offseason. Yes, they would like to make him a member of the Cavs for life. But the only way Tristan's camp was going to do that before free agency was for one of those monster deals that the Cavs were hesitant to do and still are hesitant to do. They have placed a first-round pick on him. That's the value that they want in return. And it's been labeled to me as a quote-unquote good first-round pick. So that means like borderline lottery, maybe early 20s rather than late 20s. But as the deadline gets closer and closer, maybe the Cavs come down off of that, or maybe a team increases their offer. I did not get the sense a few days ago that the Cavs were willing to move Tristan because they wanted to re-sign him this offseason for something similar to what they got for Jordan Clarkson, like 2 second-round picks and like a project in Dante Exum. But now that it is out there from Tristan's camp that he's motivated to get out of Cleveland, does that change anything? Because it's not a situation like Kevin Love where he's still under contract. If Tristan decides and he lets the Cavs know, we are not re-signing with you this offseason, you better get something of value for us, then maybe that forces the Cavs' hand rather than seeing him walk in the summer and not getting anything of value at all.
Chris, is John Beilein definitely the Cavs head coach next year?
I wouldn't say definitely, guys. No, I am not ready to go there. I think there are a lot of things that the Cavs have to figure out when it comes to him. And I think the number one thing is, can he communicate to the young guys? Because that's what matters most. Like, if Tristan Thompson is unhappy with the way that things have gone this year, if Kevin Love is, right, if John Henson is Brandon Knight. And there are some other young guys that have expressed displeasure with John Beilein. But can he get those guys back? Because that's what matters most to the future of this organization going forward, is his relationship, the buy-in level from Colin Sexton and Darius Garland and Kevin Porter Jr. and Dylan Windler and maybe Jetty Osman and Larry Nance Jr. and some of those kinds of guys. And I think John Beilein has work to do to repair those relationships. But I have also gotten the sense that some of these guys are starting to see John try and make these adjustments and try and adapt. He's not the same coach that he was at the beginning of the year. He's not as strict as he was at the beginning of the year. Things aren't as quote-unquote collegey as they were at the beginning of the year. So as much as young players have to go through these growing pains, guys, you know, a young coach in the NBA, I say young coach because it's his first year in the NBA, even though he's about 67 years old, like they have to go through these things as well, especially when you've been programmed to do it a certain way for 41 years. Like that's not going to happen overnight that you're going to change your ways and all of a sudden know exactly what you're doing in this new league. So I'm not ready to say definitely, but I think he has made positive strides that make it more possible for him to come back and not have it be such a disaster.
You think Colin Sexton is definitely part of the future?
Define the future.
Next 5 years?
I wouldn't go as far as next 5 years.
Next three to four. I don't know. Cut it back.
So here's the thing that's going to happen, Dustin and Bull, is Colin's going to come up with a contract extension, and that's going to happen soon. And it's probably going to be in the neighborhood, based on the way that he's played, and if he follows this same trajectory, it's going to be in the neighborhood of what Jaylen Brown got from the Celtics. It's going to be in the neighborhood of what Jamal Murray got from the Denver Nuggets, or what Buddy Hield got from the Sacramento Kings. So do the Cavs want to commit that to Colin? I don't think they're ready to say that yet. I don't think they know who he is. I don't think they know what he is and what he can be. How could you? He just turned 21 years old. He wasn't supposed to be as good as he is right now at this stage, right? He wasn't supposed to be able to shoot. He wasn't supposed to be able to score the way that he has been. But he continues to break through these ceilings that people have placed on him. And he's been really, really good over the last 10 games. Scoring well, about 5 assists per game over the last 10 when he wasn't supposed to be able to pass. Good shooting percentage. He's corrected some of the issues that he had with shot selection. He's finding a way to get his teammates involved. He's making proper reads. So he is a growing player, and I don't think the Cavs are willing to give up on him yet. They want to figure out, like, who he is and what he can become before they make that determination. Look, if they're blown away, completely blown away by an offer at this trade deadline, I would put it past them. But I don't think they're going to be blown away. So I think it's just kind of silly to talk about whether they should trade him now at this deadline. But they would admit that they have some things that they have to figure out with Colin before they say, okay, this guy is quote-unquote untouchable, or he is the building block of this rebuild or something along those lines.
It's going to be interesting to see. Chris, thanks, man. Have a good flight. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys. See ya.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.